Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for what we're going to look at this morning, what we're going to study and see. And I pray, Lord, that this time that we have in contact with the Word of God, Lord, that it would not be wasted. Jesus, you taught us that the seed, when it is sown, is the Word of God. How important it is that the soil be properly prepared to receive it. You have taught us, Lord, in the Bible, the dangers of being hearers only and not doers of the Word. And so I would pray, Lord, that even now, during this time of prayer, each of us would properly prepare ourselves mentally and physically and spiritually so that we can maximize what's about to be said, so it's not a wasted time in our life, so that Satan does not come and snatch the seed away. May we grab hold upon the truths of the Bible. May we already decide that we're going to allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us and to use the Scriptures in our life in a powerful way. May we be ready to respond to whatever your Holy Spirit would say to us or instruct us to do, Lord, as we hear the Bible preached. And I would ask, Lord, that this would be a blessed time, a spiritual time, a helpful time to each and every one of us here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I spoke briefly on this subject just a little bit to our young adult class this morning. I want to emphasize it before we get into the message. Let me say this and give you this good pastoral piece of advice, and I hope that you'll take it to heart. Let me say that there's hardly a thing in the world you can point to that's more important than having a regular, scheduled, daily, steady contact and interaction with the Word of God. The Bible is important in your life. Let me say it again. The Bible is important in your life. One man said this, that sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. Anybody want to say amen there? Have you found that that's true in your life? I'll testify and say that's sure been true in my life. And so I want to encourage each of you to spend some time reading the Bible every day. I want to encourage you to spend a little time, those of you that have grown in grace some, in studying the Bible every day. And then memorization. Of course, the Bible teaches us the importance of memorization. But what is most often emphasized when it comes to the Word of God is meditation. And let me encourage you to take what is preached here on Sunday. Don't leave it in the auditorium when you head to your car, but take the truths that God gives you and just mull over them during the week. And so this is the kind of message that it is. Most messages that I preach are messages that give you some raw material, some basic building blocks that you can take and with the Holy Spirit's help build something that week in your heart and in your life that hopefully will be helpful long term. I have spent this week in my devotion time and kind of set as a goal that I would spend a little extra time studying this subject. I wanted to study the relationship between Jesus and his mother. And so I'm going to preach on that subject this morning, Jesus and his mother. Mary shows up a lot in the Gospels, and Jesus interacts with his mother in many, many different times and ways in the Scriptures. And so we're going to take this and these verses and these stories, and boy, the Lord taught me so much this week through this study that I'm going to just pull out two or three of these things. And I'm going to share maybe the highlights of what the Lord taught me this week as we look at Jesus and his mother. How many of you are thankful for your mother today? Amen. Isn't that a blessing to focus on that and think about that? Let me start out by giving you this thought. According to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, God in his wisdom, he gave, when he sent Jesus to this earth, he gave his son a mother. Think about that. God gave his son a mother. You say, well, of course, preacher. How else would he have gotten here? Well, mercy sakes, he's God. You know, God the Son could have taken upon him the form of flesh, and he could have descended the way he ascended from heaven in full human form without the assistance or aid of an earthly mother. He could have come down as a child, or he could have come down in his prime, maybe at 30 years of age, and just went right into the ministry. But God in his wisdom wanted Jesus Christ, his son, to have the care and the love of a mother, of a mother. Now you think about that. That means Jesus, even though he did not have a, think about this, a biological father. And I do want to say thank God that God in his wisdom did give Jesus Christ a father figure in Joseph, and a man to play that role in his life. But he gave to his son Jesus Christ a mother. We are in the midst of another miniature baby boom here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Isn't that a blessing? I saw pictures today. I seen for the first time Michael and Corey bring in their precious baby. How neat that they were allowed to bring their baby to church for the first time on Mother's Day. I think that's kind of neat. I always say this. I don't know how anybody can look at a newborn baby and not believe in God. If you want evidence of a creator, just go to the hospital, go to the delivery center, go to the little window and look at those precious gifts of God. And you know what? How in the world can you say there's no God? Well, God in his infinite wisdom, he wanted his son to have an earthly mother. Now folks, that means that Jesus was an infant and he received the care that only a mother really understands or knows about or experiences when it comes to the care of that brand new baby. Oh, us dads from time to time will take it, that baby, and hold it and snuggle it. But it's the mother that in the quiet morning hours rises up to give nourishment to that child. It's the mother who cuddles and holds that child as she feeds it. And let me say this, science has proved this, psychologists has reinforced this. A tragedy is happening in this country and other countries. I read a story here a while back, and maybe you heard about it, where many of our people are going over to China and adopting newborn babies. And by the way, I'm glad for that, and thank God for any baby that finds a home. But so many times they go into these orphanages and they pick these children up and out when they are 1 or 2 years old. But you know what? These children, from the time they were born, were basically laid aside and given minimal care. They did not have a mother's touch. They did not have a mother's love. And it's amazing how many times these children grow up with some basic problems, some real adjustments that they have to make in their life. And I'm not saying that we don't have a God that can overcome these things. And if you didn't have a mother there in your life during those early years, you know what? Isn't it great that God promises to take you up? But let me say this. In a normal situation, a normal circumstance, it is vitally important for our proper development that a child has a mother's touch and has a mother's love and has mother's care. God's designed it specifically in such that as a mother feeds and cares for a baby, that there has to be hugging and touching and caressing and interacting. And let me say this, thank God for it. That just puts something in the heart of a child. And you know, even God in heaven, God the Father said, you know what? I know my son is going to go down, and I know he's going to be more than human. He's going to be divine. But I want him to have a mother's love. I want him to have a mother's touch. I want him to know a mother's caress. I want him to be raised on the knee of a mother, carried and nourished by his mother. And let me say this, ladies. The greatest privilege, one of the greatest privileges that God gives you of your life is the opportunity to have those quiet times. Don't begrudge those times. I know sometimes it's tiring, and I know that young infants and babies can wear you out on days. But even during those quiet times in the middle of the night, lean back and thank God that God's given you this precious time to invest in those precious children. The first thing I noticed as I studied the interaction between Jesus and his mother, and the first thought that God gave me was this: God wanted his son to have a mother. Let me give you this, and now I'm going to talk to the children and the young people for a little while. But not only did God give his son a mother, but Jesus then gave his mother both honor and respect. Jesus gave his mother both honor and respect. Let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 2, a wonderful story about a 12-year-old boy by the name of Jesus. And we're going to be privy to a conversation, an interaction between him and his mother in this story. I want you 12-year-old boys and girls to listen up. Those of you that are in that age category, maybe you're 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I want you to pay close attention to what the Scripture says. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12, speaking of Jesus, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinfolks and acquaintance, and when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him." By the way, before you get too judgmental about Mary and Joseph here, come on, I want honesty here. I want honesty. How many of you parents at some point forgot your child somewhere? Come on, I want honesty. Raise your hand. Amen. Yes. All right, let's have a little compassion here. It happens at times. We lost one of our girls one time for 3 weeks. And I'm kidding about that. But it happens. Have you guys ever gotten about halfway to church and all of a sudden realized there's a child? One of the other kids say, "Hey, where's so-and-so?" You know, but it happens. Everybody's in a hurry. But they discovered then that Jesus was missing. Now, verse 46, notice this. "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed." The next four words does not surprise me. "And his mother said." Can you imagine? Every mother knows. Every father knows. Joseph could have taken the lead here, but he saw that mother has been looking for 3 days and mother is upset. It does not surprise me that if a child's been missing for first 3 days, the first person that speaks to that child is the mother. Matter of fact, everyone else ought to just clear out. You ought to take about 10 paces back and get in a safety zone, because this mother has been worried. There's half of that mother that wants to grab and hug that child. There's half of that mother that wants to beat the living daylights out of that child, because she's been worrying for 3 days, imagining every horror that she can imagine. And so the Bible says, "And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And let me just say this. I want to say this about Mary, and I want to congratulate Mary in this. You know what? Mary was not afraid to correct her son. Mary was not afraid to speak her mind and correct her son. And listen, young ladies, young men, you may think it would be heaven on earth if you had parents that didn't correct you, but it wouldn't. It would be the most horrible situation that you could imagine. "Well, I get tired of their correction." Don't tire of their correction. The Bible tells us not to tire of the Lord's chastening. We certainly shouldn't tire of our mother and father's correction. Do you know why mama corrects you, young lady, young man? Some of you need to hear this. Some of you need a revival in your life right here. Some of you, every time your mom and dad tries to fix something in your life, you start puffing up and you start going into defense mode, and you get defiant and you get smart back. That's a wrong attitude to take. Thank God that you got a mama that loves you enough to correct you. Thank God that you have a daddy that loves you enough to correct you when you need correcting. You know what? They're trying to keep you on the right path. They're trying to keep you on a straight path. I have dealt with many, many times in my life young people who had parents that did not care enough about them to correct them. Sometimes we would have them in our home, and they would sometimes listen to our rules and hear us have to correct our own children. And you know what? There was never a look of towards our children as if they felt sorry for them. There was always a look of envy. There was always a look of longing. Because every child, if you'll think about it, down deep knows that your parents, they correct you because they love you. And if a parent does not correct you, then that's a sorrowful thing. That's a sad thing. That sends a horrible message. But thank God that Mary wasn't afraid to speak up. Now, she was in a rather unfortunate situation. And none of you children are going to be able to claim that this is your situation, so don't get your hopes up. Could you imagine being the parent of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine trying to raise someone who's perfect and divine and the Son of God and God the Son? So Mary, in her frustration, tries to correct Jesus. And the Bible says in verse number 49, Jesus answers, and he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, young people, let me just assure you of something. This was not spoken of in any type of smart aleck or rebellious tone of voice. Because Jesus Christ, we're going to see in the scriptures that follow, did not treat his parents that way. This was God the Son speaking, the Son of God speaking. This was a gentle reminder to Mary that there was an angel that came to her one day and said, "The Holy Spirit's going to put a miracle inside of you and you're going to bear the Messiah." When she said in verse number 48, "Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing," it was time for Christ to gently remind her that, you know what, I have a Father and I'm here to do his will. That is the most important thing. That is the purpose of me coming here. And just a gentle reminder to Mary of his deity. But let me assure you, young people, none of you are divine. None of you can claim deity. And if this situation happens in your life, the answer you ought to give is, "Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry." All right? You say, "Well, Brother Jerry, was Jesus a rebel?" No. Verse 50, "And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." Notice this, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." Notice this, Jesus gave his mother both the honor and respect that she was due. Five times, if you study the preaching of Jesus Christ, five times it is recorded in the Gospels where Jesus both quoted and taught on the Old Testament commandment found in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. I'll read verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Jesus not only lived it as a child, he preached it as a prophet. He preached it as a preacher of righteousness. He believed it. He lived it. He taught it. He thought it was important. Paul refers to this Old Testament command, calling it the first command with promise in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." What do you mean the first commandment with promise? Of all of the Ten Commandments, if you count them down and read them down, they are simply stated. But that is the first command that comes linked to a promise. And the promise is that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Young man, young lady, please listen to me. You ought to obey your mother because she's your mother. You ought to respect your mother because she's your mother. You ought to honor your mother because she's your mother. But let me say this, you ought to also do it for your own personal benefit, because if there's one thing the Bible states here and teaches very clearly is this: God does not have patience with rebellion. God does not have patience with a child that would curse their father or curse their mother or live in rebellion towards their parents. God does not have patience with that. Matter of fact, he goes as far in Exodus chapter 1 to state in the Old Testament laws for Jerusalem, in that culture at that time, it was a death penalty sin to smite your father or your mother. It was a death penalty sin to curse your father or your mother. And Solomon in Proverbs reminds us of the severity of these actions. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." Folks, over and over in the scriptures, God wants to get across one principle, and that's this: God does not take pleasure in this type of foolishness. God looks down and has to be, in order to honor his word, has to take the mode of judgment in your life if you begin to become rebellious towards your parents. Please listen to what I'm saying here. Let me say this. I hate to have to get into this as deep as I have to get into it, but Exodus 21:15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21:17, just two verses later, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You know what? I hate to say this, folks, but it has become an epidemic in this culture. Sometimes people want to talk about child abuse, and you know what? It's out there, and it's horrible, and it's horrid. But you talk to law enforcement officers. It's not just child abuse that's happening in this culture. It's parent abuse. I can tell you that this preacher, and by the way, I would not give names and I would not give for instances, and nobody would know what I know, and we'll never know what I know. But you would be shocked. You would be shocked in the 20 some odd years that I've been in the ministry. You'd be shocked how many times I've had to deal with a teenager or a junior higher attacking physically their mother, attacking physically their father. Let me say this. You know what? You put yourself right in the crosshairs of judgment. What happened to a culture? What happened to a world? I'm thinking a generation or two ago, it wouldn't have crossed the mind. I don't care if mama was only this tall and Junior would look like John Ross. I'm going to tell you something. It wouldn't have crossed the mind of a young man or a young lady to ever lift a finger against a mom, a finger against a dad. We live in a sordid and wicked world. But let me say this, that's not the example of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't hit my mom. I don't hit my... Wait a minute. The Bible says, what about cursing your father? What about mocking your father? What about despising to obey your mother? All of these things are grouped together in the Lord's eyes. And I want you young people, please look right up here and listen to me. Whether you understand it or not, your words, your unkind words towards your mother in some ways to her is worse than physical abuse. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll just give y'all a warning. Don't do it in my presence. Friend, foe, stranger, church house, Walmart, McDonald's, whether I know you, don't know you, whether you're bigger than me, littler than me, don't do it in my presence. I am not going to be a bystander in any situation, a quiet bystander in any situation where a child, either physically or verbally, is disrespectful to their parents. You say, well, it's none of your business. Well, excuse me, but I'm just going to make it my business. You'll just have to forgive me. Amen. I'm not going to stand party to that. I'm not going to sign off to that. And let me say this. This is some instruction. This is some Bible teaching that we need in this culture, in this time frame, in this generation, and not just in the world. We need it in the church house. The honest truth is, there's some young men and some young ladies. If some of the things that you said to your parents were tape recorded and this preacher had it, I'm talking about you said to your parents this week, and I played it in front of this congregation, it would humiliate you. But why doesn't it humiliate you that you're saying those things in the presence of Almighty God? You know what? You want to honor your mother. Well, I don't always agree with them. Well, guess what? You're the first kid that's ever happened to. Bible doesn't say you always agree with them. Bible says you always honor them. Bible doesn't say you always agree with them. The Bible says you cherish them and you love them and you respect them and you honor them and you obey them. You don't. It doesn't matter what you. It doesn't matter whether you agree or not. You know what? That is what the Bible says to do. And by the way, that is what Jesus Christ did as a young man. Yes, did he have to gently remind, as the Son of God, gently remind his mother that he was deity? Did he have to gently remind his mother about a visit that was made by an angel? Did he have to gently remind his mother that there was a Calvary and a cross ahead? Yes, he did. But you know what? Two verses later, he follows them down to Nazareth. He's in subjection to them. He is a yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, son. Yes, sir, no, sir, son. And you know what? He lived that kind of life. And he is our ultimate example. Every once in a while, it's going to get in the head of some of you teenagers that the way that you're going to prove that you're no longer a kid, the way you're going to prove that you are mature, is to become defiant against your parents. You are proving your immaturity. You are proving the fact that you are and need to be treated like a child. You listen to this preacher. Shame on you. I mean, shame on some of you teenage boys. Take a tone with your mother. Take a tone with your father. I'm going to sit here for a while. Someone needs to get up and say this. Shame on you. Shame on you, young ladies, want to roll your eyes at your mother. Shoot your little smart mouth back to your mama. Now she carried you in her body for all those months, and she took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself, and she's loved you and sat up beside you when you were sick at night, and all of the things that a mother does and sacrifice. By the way, she could have had a lot more things in life and done a lot more things in life. She sacrificed all that because she loved you and she wanted to have you and she dreamed of having you. And you know what? So much of her heart and dreams are tied up in you. Shame on you if you take a tone with your mama. That's not the example we get from Jesus Christ. I mean this. Please listen to what I'm going to say. Please listen to what I'm saying. Repentance means confession. And confession is part of repentance. I'm not talking about some kids listen to me a little bit and say, well, I'm going to try to tone it down a little bit. I'm talking about some kids who need to go home this afternoon, put their arms around their mama's neck, bury their head in their shoulders, and weep tears of repentance and say, I am sorry. I am sorry, Mama, for what I've said to you. I am sorry for the way I've treated you. I'm talking about sitting down, getting a hold of your mama's hands and saying, Mama, God convicted me this morning about the tone I've been taking with you and the disrespect that I've shown with you. And I'm sorry I'm not going to do that anymore. My Savior wouldn't have done that. And you know what? If I claim to be a Christian, how can I act that way? You got an unsaved mama, you know what? She might come to church next week if you get right with God. You got an unsaved daddy, he might actually come to church and think, maybe this whole Christianity thing's real. Man, if it does that kind of change in my kid's life, man, they may get under conviction. So I need some of that. What I'm saying is, folks, let's be Christ-like. Oh, but Brother Jerry, don't you watch TV? Don't you watch the sitcoms? No. I don't sit in front of a TV set and say, let me learn how I'm supposed to be a teenager. Go to the Bible. Go to Christ and learn from Him. This idea, well, you know, all teenagers, they just got to go rebel. No, you don't. You don't have to do that at all. I said, you don't have to do that at all. My Bible still says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. You're messing with demonic things. You have no idea what you're dealing with. You don't have any idea the doors you're opening up in your life when you start down that road. As I studied this relationship between Jesus and his mother, you know what I see? I see a man that as a boy respected and honored his mother. I see as a man later on in the ministry preaching on the importance of honoring your father and your mother. I see this respect. I see this honor given. Number three, what I came across and jotted down when I was meditating and studying, carrying around these verses this week. As I examined the relationship between Jesus and his mother, I thought this. Yes, number one, God gave his son a mother. Number two, Jesus gave his mother both honor and respect. Number three, I like this. Mary believed in her son. Mary believed in her son. You know, when that angel, I've referred back to this angelic visit in Luke chapter 1, when the angel came and told her of the miracle child that she would bear, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that she believed him. If you want to, go, we're close there, back just a chapter, Luke chapter number 1. Let's read these verses. I like, in my mind, when I read these accounts, trying to imagine myself being there. You ladies, can you imagine being Mary and have what happened, beginning in verse 26, happened to you, and thinking the thoughts that she may have thought and the questions and the confusion? We read in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Notice these sweet words. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And you know what? From that moment that the promise was given, Mary believed the promise of God. Mary believed that she would bear a son who would do the things that God told her that he would, that this young man would do. Mary believed God and believed that, that the person that she was carrying was destined for great things. Let me say this, folks. I believe that is something that is in the heart of every mother. A mother believes in her children, believes in her children. We read in the last verse there how she put these things in her heart in Luke 2:19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She wondered at the workings and the miracles surrounding his young life. She began to see evidences of the call of God and the will of God for his life. And you know what? She believed in him. She believed that he would one day be what God promised that he would be. She believed that there was a divine purpose for his life. Let me say this to the mothers. I believe that God gave you that child. And I believe that the very first and most fervent cheerleader in the life of every child ought to be his mother. Ought to be his mother. You know, I believe there ought to be somebody that says, yes, you can. I believe there ought to be somebody that comes to every child often and says, you know what? God has something wonderful for your life. I believe there ought to be somebody that comes to every child and says, you know what, I know you're discouraged today and I know it didn't go well, but you know what, you're going to be something one of these days. And God's going to use you one of these days. And I'm proud of you. Let me say this, folks. I believe that we have got to, as parents, I'm going to put it on both fathers and mothers today, but we have got to do a better job of expressing to our children that we are for them and that we believe in them and that we trust that God has a plan for them and that we're not going to give up on them and we're going to stand beside them. And yes, are they going to go through difficult times? Of course they are. Are they going to go through times where we have to correct it and adjust some things? Absolutely. But there ought to be an unwavering belief in the heart of every child that, you know what, even if nobody in this world thinks I'm worth anything, is going to amount to anything, my mama believes in me. My mama believes in me. I'm going to tell you what, you got that kind of a mama, you were blessed. You were blessed. My mama has always been my cheerleader. She has. Mamas believe in you sometimes when you quit believing in yourself. Mama believes that you're going to be great when you think you're going to be a failure. Mama can find something positive to say about no matter how bad a job you did. If you came in last of the last place, you, in her eyes, are still a champion. And you can walk off the field dejected, get in the car, and 10 minutes later think you won the game. When we first got saved, or shortly after, and we were still baby Christians, Mom and Dad took us down to the YMCA and signed us up for basketball. I didn't know anything about basketball. I liked to play it, but we didn't know anything about the rules, and we played out in the barn lot, whatever. And I'm talking about little guys. She put us on a YMCA basketball team, and of course, I think we only won one game that entire year. I don't remember exactly. I've kind of blocked that part of my memory out. But the one game I think we won was just because the other team, this one team, really stunk more than we stunk. It was a team made up of a bunch of uncoordinated kids. And they were playing us, a team of a bunch of uncoordinated kids. We were just a little less uncoordinated than the other team. And a couple times I figured out that this one kid always dribbled down. He stopped at a certain place and he always passed it to the same kid. So I waited, and when he stopped and passed, I jumped in the way, stole the ball, went down the court, made a layup, it went in. It, you should be clapping. You clap for the lady singing. Come on now. And thank you very much. Went in, and miracle of miracles, went in. I went back and thought, well, it worked again. If he does the same thing, I'm going to do it again. And so he did. He dribbled down, stopped at the same spot, turned around to the same guy, and boom, I went between them, took the ball, rolled it in again. I'm running back down to play defense thinking, I've got something here. I got something that'll work here. And as I'm running back down the court, I look over, and my mother is standing in the bleachers, and she's screaming, "That's my boy! That's my boy! That's my boy!" You say, were you embarrassed? Of course I was embarrassed. But every kid will know what I'm going to say next is true. I was embarrassed, but I was also happy. Even though she was behaving herself unseemly in a public situation, I found out this. Every single time that I made a shot or did something good on the court, I'd always glance over, see if Mom was smiling, see if Mom was happy. Moms, listen to me. Get out of this negativity. Get out of this negative way of life. I feel sorry for a kid that's raised in a negative atmosphere. I don't understand this thing where I have people sitting in my office saying all during my growing up years, all I heard from my parents was that I was going to amount to nothing. I don't understand that. And by the way, if you were raised that way, I mean this, you have my sympathy. I'm sorry for you. I mean that. I'm sorry for you. But let me just say this. It's not true. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But let me say this. Aren't you blessed if you had mamas and daddies that, you know what, when everybody else in the world had given up on you and everybody else thought you weren't worth any more investment, you had a mom that said, you know what, you're gonna be something. God's going to use you. Don't give up. Don't quit. There's still something ahead. You can be something for God. God's not giving up on you. Aren't you glad that Jesus was raised in that kind of an atmosphere? Here was a mama that believed in him. I'm not going to have you turn to the story for sake of time, but if we went to John chapter 2, you remember the story of the wedding there? Now Jesus knew that her son was the Son of God. In John chapter 2, they go to a wedding and they run out of wine. And by the way, young people, that means grape juice. That is not fermented wine. But they ran out of wine. Ran out of drink, something to drink. So if you read the story, Mary goes over to Jesus and says, real innocently, you know how mothers are, Jesus, I don't know if you heard, but there's still guests coming in, and there's still a lot left of the ceremony and the party, but they ran out of wine. Then she just looks at him. And he says, Mom, what are you doing? It's not my time yet. In other words, see, every mama thinks your kid ought to be the star at everything. Hey, you know, this would be a good time to pull off those little miracles I've been watching you practice in the backyard. I've been bragging to all the other mothers. They don't believe me. I'm not saying that you have to, but they're out of wine. So Jesus says, all right. And then Mary, here's what she does. She read the story. Tell me that this isn't what happened. As soon as he says, okay, she goes running over to some servants, and she starts getting him the help he needs. Hey, go over here. That's my boy. Hey, that's my boy over there. Wait till you see what he's going to do. That's my boy. You go help him. Whatever he needs, do it for him. That's exactly what she said. So next thing you know, Jesus is thinking, all right, and he looks around all these people. What do you need? Your mama sent us. Why? She said, do whatever you said. And we're going to see something amazing. So he said, all right, get a couple pots and get some water and fill them in, pour it in the pots, all right? So they get a couple containers and they take water and pour it. He said, now draw it out and taste it and draw it out. And they tasted it. Wow, now it's not water anymore. It's fresh grape juice. And he's like, now go take it over to the governor. Take it over to the master. And Mary's in the background beaming, and she's saying, I knew he could do it. And then you know she headed for the other mothers. She starts saying, yeah, this party's a bust, isn't it? Yeah, I can't believe they didn't have enough drinks for everybody. Don't worry, my boy took care of it. You know what? Thank God for a mama that always believes. Thank God for a mama that believes in you. And by the way, if you have that kind of a mama, you ought to thank God for her. I want to end with this thought. I'm going to go back to the young people for a few minutes and we'll finish up. Yeah, I learned some things about Jesus and his mom just watching them interact. I learned that God in heaven wanted his son to have a mother. He could have done it another way, but he wanted that. I saw that Jesus gave his mother both honor and respect, not just as a child, but as an adult. I saw that Mary believed in her son and believed that he would be all that God promised he would be. But I also saw this. Jesus, later on in life, assumed responsibility of his mother and assumed responsibility for the care of his mother. Now let me say this, folks. Most people believe that at some point in Christ's upbringing, Joseph passed away. And sometimes we are not reminded of how blessed we are to live in a time where the average length of age is well into the 70s. That was not always the case. But Joseph at some point during his upbringing, Joseph at some point passed away. We're not told how old. I think that he passed away sometime when Jesus, prior to Jesus turning 30 years of age. I think one of the reasons, let me go far as to say this, young man. I think one of the reasons that Jesus postponed going into the ministry until he was 30 years of age was because he had to assume the responsibilities of caring for the family until all the other children were raised. He became the Joseph of the family. He was a carpenter till he was 30 years of age. He wanted to make sure mama was taken care of. He didn't try to use some kind of a spiritual loophole to get out of his responsibility. He wanted to make sure mama was taken care of. He rebuked the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7 who tried to find some kind of a loophole and not take care of their parents. He says, Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Let me tell you what the Pharisees, well, you talk about a bunch of rascals. You study the Pharisees. There is a Bible mandate that these grown children, as their parents age, that those children step up and take care of mom and dad. But the Pharisees were greedy of the money that they had set aside to take care of their parents, so they came and said, hey, if you will dedicate that money as a gift unto the Lord, you'll receive extra blessings. Sounds like some TV evangelist I know. And the Bible says, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you do it so that you can profit. They wanted to steal the money that was set aside to take care of mom and dad. You know what? Jesus called them out on the carpet for it. Jesus rebuked them for it. You know why? Because if the Bible teaches anything, it teaches us that we're to take care. Hey, remember children, when you were little and you couldn't take care of yourself? You were a handful. You took a lot of care and extra time. Hey, wait a minute, there'll come a time, maybe if the course of life is normal, that there will be a time where you'll take care of your parents. And you know what? They're going to take a little bit extra time and a little bit of extra patience and care, a little bit maybe added expense, like you caused them. Isn't it great that everything comes around? Amen, amen, isn't that great? Matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable for the God. It goes on to say, if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Show me a child who won't take responsibility to make sure mama and daddy's taken care of in their old age. I can show you someone who God looks down and says, you're an infidel, you're worse than an infidel. And I want to show you and teach you, leave on this thought, that Jesus Christ was not an infidel. He cared for his mama. I wish I had time to take you to all the scriptures, but you see that Jesus took his mother from place to place many times on his journeys, or set her up in a place of care while he took some of his journeys, but he always made sure his mama was taken care of. And then at the cross, you remember the story? Then at the cross, when he'd come to fulfill all and to die for all, and all that was going on in both the natural world and the supernatural world, that great battle that was being fought out on Mount Calvary, Jesus does not forget his responsibilities as a son. He looks down to one of his inner circle, one of his most cherished followers, the one that I believe Jesus felt like he could trust the most. And he basically looked at John and said, "See this lady, this sweet lady that carried me, this sweet lady that gave me nourishment and gave me love. See this sweet lady that I respected and honored all these years. See this lady beside you who believed in me and cheerleaded me on. See that lady there? John, I need you to take care of her. Mama, John's going to take care of you." And you know what? All the way to his last breath, he wanted to make sure that he was there to take care of his mama. These are just basic things. But I'm afraid we're in a culture where these things have been thrown away and ignored. I want you young people today to love your mamas and honor your mamas and cherish your mamas. And you assume responsibility for the care of your mama on the day when God calls you to do that. You make sure that your mama is precious in your eyes and precious in your sight. Don't despise your mama. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would use the words that we've spoken and the scriptures we've looked at, stir some things in our life. Lord, I want to pray and ask God that you would help me to be a better son. I would want that to be my heart's desire, Lord. I know I need to be. I pray, Lord, that you'd work collectively in our hearts. Help us not to forget or forsake this precious relationship. And Lord, in the busyness of life, may we not forget and fail to take care of the things that are important. Lord, I pray, dear God, that our mothers would be honored today and blessed. Help them to know how much we care and love them. Lord, thank you, dear God, that you looked down from heaven and said, when it's time to send my son to do what was promised, when it's time to send my son to be the substitutionary sacrifice for all mankind, when it was time to send my son to die for the sins of all the world, oh, I could have had him descend from heaven in a cloud. I could have had him in some way supernaturally appear. But no, I want him to have a mama. I want him to know that. I want him to experience that. And even though he's the Son of God and God the Son, he ought to have a cheerleader. And he ought to have somebody that he has some responsibilities for and towards. Somebody to love and to honor and to obey and to defend, to care for. And dear Jesus, I want to thank you for once again providing for us, as you always do, the perfect example. It's amazing to me, dear Christ, dear Jesus, my Savior, it's amazing to me how so many different things, so many different responsibilities were upon you, and yet you performed them all perfectly. Help us, Lord. Challenge our heart. Help us to be what we ought to be while we walk this earth. Lord, if there's someone here today without Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they'd be saved today. I pray if there's a child that's begin to slip into sin, begin to slip into rebellion and disrespect toward their parents, that God, you would get a hold of their hearts and turn their hearts back to their father and back to their mother. Use, please, God, this time in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name.